From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Tuesday, April 14. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 6,394 cases of coronavirus and 61 people have died. I'm joined now by health reporter Dana McCauley. Welcome to Please Explain, Dana.
It's a pleasure.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things today. For the listeners' benefit, you're our health reporter in the Canberra Press Gallery in Canberra. And you have an interesting story in today's papers about this concept of medi-hotels. The government has had a lot of success with compulsorily quarantining people coming in from overseas in hotels for 2 weeks to make sure that they're clear. This proposal is about taking anyone who has coronavirus here in Australia and basically putting them up in a hotel where they'll be cared for, but they can't interact with their families.
Yeah, so basically the medi-hotel concept, it's based on the way the Singapore government has approached this. Greg Hunt has said he's very open to the concept. It's come from the Tasmanian AMA have been pushing it. Tasmanian government is now trialling it at two sites in Launceston and Hobart. And basically people, instead of self-isolating at home, they are in a hotel. They are isolated from their families, but the idea is that they can actually freely mix with each other since they all already have the virus. The AMA says this is necessary because up to 10% of people don't comply with their requirement to isolate at home. And we've heard of people sort of going to the shops and going to play golf and doing all sorts of things when they're supposed to be safe.
So the health minister has said he's open to it. What would be the next step in making this a sort of formal policy across the nation?
Well, all of the responses to the coronavirus go through the National Cabinet, which is made up of state and federal chief health officers and ministers. So it really is up to the states how they do this. The fact that the federal health minister is backing the idea is sort of an indication of where he's at. But ultimately, it would be up to the New South Wales and Victorian governments as to whether they wanted to pursue it. New South Wales does have some self-isolating people in hotels. They've offered places in the hotels that they're the same ones that are used for returning travellers. So that's just for people who are not able to isolate at home. But in terms of making that the overall strategy, that would be a big change.
It would be a big curb on people's freedoms, but some of us are getting more tolerant of that than at other times. Dana, I want to talk about one state in particular. This time last week, everyone was looking at Tasmania as a success story, and now all of a sudden it's turned into a disaster. What's happening down there?
Yeah, you would think that Tasmania being an island would be pretty safe, but unfortunately they had a number of cases from the Ruby Princess, and now the infection has spread through two hospitals in the northwest in Burnie, which have now had to be shut down. And a very scandalous allegation today that allegedly some of the health workers, more than 40 health workers who tested positive, apparently some of them, they're accused of going to an illegal dinner party, breaching the self-isolation requirements. You're not allowed to have more than two people in your home. So if that did happen, that would be very serious. And the Tasmanian Premier has this morning indicated that he's referred it to the police.
So what are the consequences for the people in northwest Tasmania? How many people are being put into compulsory isolation?
So it's about 1,200 health workers have been isolated along with their close household contacts. So that's about 5,000 people. But also, I mean, two hospitals closed. I've been told that accounts for 20% of the state's acute care capacity. They've had to call the army in to basically set up a makeshift emergency room so that people that live in that area can still access emergency hospital care. People, in the middle of cancer treatment are having that upended, and it's just caused a lot of disruption and a lot of concern.
It's incredibly frustrating given how almost all of us are being so compliant with restrictions that are really quite draconian. to think that a whole heap of health workers got together and caused this massive outbreak is disgraceful, isn't it?
If it's true, then yes, it is disgraceful. I guess it's up to the police to work out. The Tasmanian Premier was at pains to say this morning that it is a rumour at this stage. The state's health authorities have been undertaking contact tracing of all those cases, and he said that there wasn't any indication that there was a dinner party involved. But the fact that the nation's chief medical officer has said that may have happened is pretty huge.
Dana, another thing I want to talk to you about is a feature that you wrote for the weekend editions of The Herald and The Age about what coming out of this lockdown might look like. CMOs are all saying that we're not ready to do this, that we have to continue being vigilant, but they are now starting to make plans for how things could be loosened at a stage where it's appropriate. What would be one of the first things that would be freed up?
Well, the government is possibly going to make a decision on this as early as next week. The National Cabinet, I should say. There's a group of 80 experts from universities around Australia who are doing the modelling on this right now. They will report to the government on Monday. So I imagine that will be heavily discussed at next week's National Cabinet. In terms of what could be relaxed first, it's hard to say definitively, but I would say that things like not being able to have any visitors in your home is one that people have found very restrictive, and Professor Tony Blakely has said to me that that might be the one that could be slightly loosened first, maybe being able to have a small number of people in your home. But things like restaurants, cafes, nightclubs are sort of expected to take longer. And we certainly, you know, the Prime Minister has said many times that we're not going to go back to our normal lives for at least 6 months.
What are the experts saying to you about schools and what's going to happen? Are we basically homeschooling for the whole of term two, or is there a possibility that schools might go back sometime during that term?
There's a lot of mixed messaging around schools. I'd be surprised if they went back completely in term two. That one of the reasons why 6 months is such a key time frame is because that will take us through winter, which is going to be more of a danger time. So I would imagine things would continue pretty similarly, with schools being officially open for people who, essential workers who have no other option, but the vast majority of people are still homeschooling.
So does the National Cabinet have access to enough data yet to start making these decisions? Or is it now okay? Because the modelling that was released last week was all historical data and also related to overseas.
That's right.
Do they have enough data now to start making decisions about where they can lift restrictions and how they can do it and keep track of it?
That's what they're working on now. It's true there's very small numbers in Australia, so that does pose a limitation. It's also really challenging to model the different measures because they were all introduced in very quick succession. So it's hard to say how much of the impact on the declining numbers was from closing borders and how much was from social distancing, because it's hard to pull them apart. But I know we do have the country's best epidemiological minds working on that now. And I'm sure that if and when they do start to ease restrictions, it will be very, very gradual and very, you know, trying one thing at a time and then watching and seeing how that impacts on the situation.
Mm. And how important in all of this is expanding the testing program? We're already testing more people per capita than anyone else on the planet. Is the goal to eventually get to the point where we've all been tested?
That would be the ideal scenario. And the problem that we're grappling with is a lack of testing supply. We do have broadened testing in some hotspots in Sydney where there have been outbreaks. You can now get a test if you have any flu symptoms. You don't have to be someone who's been exposed to a confirmed case or who's returned from overseas. But that is still a lot more limited than what a lot of people are pushing for. And if we won't really know exactly how much community transmission is happening until you can just sort of test a random segment of the population and work out what percentage of them has the virus. But they are expanding it, and hopefully that will give some more useful data.
And just finally, are we any closer to answering the one of the many million-dollar questions, which is, if you've had coronavirus, are you then immune from getting it again?
We still don't know that, and that is an absolutely crucial question. We won't know that until we have a reliable blood test, which is being worked on and tested by the Doherty Institute in Melbourne and others. And that will just, once they can actually do that, we'll have a much better idea of whether there is actually immunity in the community.
Dana, thanks so much for your time. I'm sure we'll have you back on again during this crisis.
Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by David Escort and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.